Well, I looked around. I saw several folks that we've been very cautious to, we don't share a lot of personal information about sickness and things, but I saw folks here tonight that haven't been here for a good while, and the Lord has brought you back. It's such a blessing to see people in church that you couldn't be, sickness and all that, and it's just a joy to be back in church, and I'm so thankful to be here, thankful that you're here, and we're looking forward to it. Maybe you have a testimony tonight. We don't have a way to have everybody here, and that's the bad thing about a room this size, but I don't want you to just get up because I'm asking, but maybe you have something you'd like to share, somebody would like to say praise the Lord about something tonight. Anybody? Yes, ma'am. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Jack's got a microphone back there on that side. Let's see. Dan, you got one here still? Let's give him a spot right there. Then, Brother Jack, you just stay right there.
Hello, hello. I've been out of sick. Wife and I have been out of church. My wife and I have been sick. And it's a blessing. I've got family to check up on me. I've got my church family. I had people pestering me all the time how they might be helpful to me. And it's just a great blessing. Amen. To have church family and family.
Amen.
To take care of me.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Somebody else? Brother Nathan, why don't you just say something about what the Lord's done for you?
I can't praise God enough for what He's done for our family in this year, and just being able to be here and just thank God for His faithfulness and His mercy to us. Often I share with people that, I'm very glad to be talking to you right now because I almost wasn't. And then it gives me an opportunity to talk to them about their life and spiritual things. We've all gone through, every one of us has gone through challenges with COVID and with other things this year that 2 years ago we never thought we would face, even just not long ago we never thought we'd face. And just good to see folks back and God touching our bodies. But just remembering that we need to be ready at any instant to go into eternity. And we need to be right with God today. And we need to be walking with God today because He's given us today to serve Him.
Yeah.
And just the fact that I had to face the reality that I might not have another day at 42 years old, that was a life-changing experience for me. And I'm very thankful that the Lord gave me opportunity to be here. And just, you can't praise Him enough.
Amen.
He's amazing.
Amen to that. Anybody else? Right up here, Brother Jack. And then if there's one more over here, we can catch Brother Dan's attention, then we'll move on.
A friend of mine called today, and she told me that her son, he's been married 17 years, and they were told that they would never have children. And she had went to the doctors, and he said she was pregnant, and she said she didn't believe it, and so they did an ultrasound, and she's 15 weeks pregnant. So God is still a God doing miracles.
Amen.
And miracle working just praise God. The Lord for that.
Praise the Lord. Somebody else? Anybody? One more? Brother Steve right there. Dan.
Thanks. Well, just about a year ago to the day, we found out Debbie had cancer. And boy, that changed your life. That changed your prayer life. That changes everything. And if we have not had the relationship we had with Christ, I don't know how folks do it. Praise His high and holy name.
Amen.
The hope of heaven.
Amen.
And all the promises, the power of the Holy Spirit to help you pray when you didn't know how to pray. To help you not doubt Him.
Amen.
Help you not to ask questions. And on and on and on. But praise His Lord, here she is.
Amen.
A year later, she just took a treatment. She's not sick. None of the treatments have made her sick. And I want everybody to pray. 3 weeks from now, we have another test to see whether it's gone or at bay or holding or whatever.
Amen.
So praise the Lord for
Amen.
All He gives you. I mean, we get salvation, but we get so much
more. A whole lot more, don't we?
So much
Amen.
More.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, thank you. Anybody else? All right. Thank you, Brother Jack. Thank you, Brother Dan. Well, you know, we don't always do that, but just so the thing you worry about is, as Lucy said, I grew up in a small church too, and everybody knew everything. That's all not always good, but you know, everybody knew everything before you knew it sometimes, before you get home and tell your family they already knew. But sometimes we don't get to see everybody on the way in. It's a whole lot easier to keep contact with about 30 or 40 of you, but it maybe helps this way in some. So, well, praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles, and I'm going to do something that will sound strange. I will not give our Bible on the first couple of points because I want to emphasize something about tonight. Let me look at how the handout's listed. It's on authority. And we'll get into the Bible on point number 3. But we'll get a little bit on point number 1. But here's my basis. So you get your Bible. We'll get out in just a little bit. I heard long ago a preacher preach, and he gave this thought. It's been so long ago, I don't remember how he followed it from there. But it's true then, and it's true now. And that is that people get their authorities from one of 3 places. They get it from human understanding, or an organization, a church, or they get it from the Bible. And so when you think about it, you and the world, we are getting what we think is right, the stand, from either human understanding or human reasoning, or there's an organization that said this is what it says. If you were the Church of the Latter-day Saints, Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints, you'd say, well, my church says this. And they would say, well, they would say we get it from the Bible and the Book of Mormon. If you were some other religion, say, well, this is what my historicity of the church says. And so as this preacher was just said that in passing, then went on. I've taught different times in over the years about this, and it's still true tonight. We've got a world, a nation, I should say, let's just pare it down to us, who, by and large, they think, if I can't believe it, then it must not be true. If I can't fathom it, then there's no way it's correct. Let's give you an illustration. Somebody that you work with says, if you're talking about heaven and hell, and they said, I cannot fathom a place that people would burn forever and ever. So they deduct that since they can't fathom it, there's no way it's true. They would say, how could a loving God, you've heard me mention this in recent services, how could a loving God let anybody go to a place like that, and I just cannot believe it. We hear a lot in our world right now about your truth. You've got to discover your truth. That's true for you. That's what you found as your truth. That's not necessarily my truth. But my friend, you got to understand, and we'll get to it before we conclude tonight, that truth is truth is truth is truth, whether you get on board, get off, get on, get off the wagon or off the wagon, whether you like it, don't like it, whether you adhere to it, whether you ignore it, whether you deny it, the truth is still the truth. The old illustration's been used over and over again, but if there was some physical issue wrong with you and you deny it, you refuse to accept it, does it take any of the severity of that physical situation away from your body? Of course not. You may be in what we call denial, but it doesn't change what's happening. So tonight, we're going to look at a few things and trust the Lord to bless us as we look at those 3 areas that we are basing our authority on. And the third one, the last one, which is where we end, it's the only one that matters. But I want to highlight a couple of the others just so you can be aware when you not argue with people, but when you converse with different people, so maybe you might know where they're coming from as they put forth their thoughts. Lord, bless us tonight is our prayer. Help us, I ask. And Lord, we'll certainly thank you for whatever you do. And Lord, because unless you do something, then it's well nigh useless that we came tonight. So bless us is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The first one is human understanding. It's the first blank. That's the first point. So people think that there's no way I can understand, and so if I can't understand it, it cannot be true. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 2, the problem with human understanding is it's so varied. What you understand might be different than what I understand. You may understand a lot better than I do. I may understand it better than somebody else. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 22, the real problem lies in we justify what we want to do. Every way of a man is right in where? His own eyes. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ways are over the ends of death. The Bible says every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Now, this is specifically talking about just some ways that somebody might take in their life. Some preacher would get up and say, you ought to live right. Well, somebody says, well, I am living right. I've only got three wives, and I only drink every day that ends in Y, and I live this way. I only steal what I want. I never steal things that I don't want. You know, they can say, I'm living right, because they make it fit to what they want to do. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. There are some people who say, I'm living in a wicked, horrible life. I know everything I'm doing is wrong, but I don't care. There are a few people like that, but most people, by and large, at the end of a day, week, month, or a year, they want to be relatively right, and they say, I'm doing pretty good. It's amazing how when we say I'm doing pretty good, we always compare ourselves to people who are doing horrible. If you've got 12 houses on your street, and you're not so great, and your wife is kind to remind you, you're not so great about keeping that one house that you live in mowed, you always say something like this, it's not as bad as so-and-so. Now, you never look at the guy that's real OCD and he keeps his yard neat as a pin. You never want her to compare you to him. You always compare yourself to somebody who's doing worse than you are in that situation. If your clothes are not as neat as they should be, say, well, I'm not a slob like so-and-so. If your car is not as clean, well, looks like he ran through the four-wheel drive before he got here. You know, we always look at somebody who's doing worse, and we are putting them down so we make ourselves look good. And so a little bit of that mentality comes over in all about how we live. Every man does that which is right. And so we see the first part of authority today is human understanding. I can't fathom it, so it can't be happen. I just feel good when I do that. I feel like this is where I'm supposed to be. And there's so many statements in our society today that begin with, it makes me feel this way. It makes me do this. It makes me feel secure. I'm having a self-care day. You know, that's a big phrase right now. Self-care. Well, you remember what the Bible says about ourself and where we deserve to be. We deserve, of course, to be in hell. The Bible says our heart is desperately a wicked. Who can know it? It's deceitful above all things. We understand that there's nothing in us, and there's a teaching now that says, no. That was before you were saved. Now you've really got a jewel within you because you're born again. Well, we are born again, and we are on our way to heaven if you're saved. And so you've got that wonderful hope of heaven, but you still have that flesh that never got eradicated. You still have that flesh that's there bothering you every day. You say, how do you know? Because you didn't want to get up this morning when your alarm went off. If that flesh hadn't been there and that thing went off at 5, 6, 7, whatever time you had it for noon, whenever you had it set for, if that old flesh hadn't been there, you'd have hopped right up and said, oh, this is the day. What can I do something out? What can I do to help somebody? But instead, some of you poor folks like coffee. I do not, but that's all right. Some of you go, you just say, please, don't talk to me yet. I haven't had my coffee. But first, coffee. If we didn't have that old flesh, we wouldn't be grumpy in the mornings. If we didn't have that old flesh, we wouldn't let things that people do get on our nerves. I'm just saying that we've still got that. And so that's the reason our human understanding, that's the reason that our reasoning is not something that we can base decisions on. So human understanding, number one, reason. Number B, underneath there, feelings and experiences. We base beliefs are based on feelings or our awareness. And the problem with all of these in this category is every one of us are different. If you grew up in a home where parents were very faithful and parents were very very moral, very faithful to each other, then you may think that's what's normal. But if you grew up in a house where there was infidelity and you grew up in a house where that was accepted and there was multiple estrangements and there was multiple separations, there was multiple this, what do? You grew up thinking that's normal. And so the problem with human understanding is it's so prone to be all over the place. We have reason, we have feelings, and I just don't feel that way. And we have a conscience. We know this is, phrase is big in our society. Let your conscience be your guide. Well, the problem is, if there's, the Bible talks about seared consciences and talks about all of these things. And again, the problem, though, also lies with how you've been raised greatly dictates what you think is, oh, that's unconscionable. Oh, I couldn't believe that. I could never think about doing something like that. And so herein lies the problem with our human understanding. So I told you that most all people, will put their authority based on human understanding, a church or organization, some sort of organization that has a hierarchy, or the Word of God. So secondly is the church or an organization. Sometimes a church will make it sound like we only use the Bible. But it's amazing when they say that, they'll also tell you, we are the only ones who can help you understand it. You know, for years, the Catholic Church wanted to keep people ignorant of the Bible, and so they were glad that nobody could speak the language that the book was in. Well, eventually, God raised some people up that were going to print in the common man's language, and then that presented some problems for them. So some churches will say they use the Bible, but whenever you get to a passage that seems to be hard to understand, they say, oh, we're the ones that can tell you what that really means. And so a church or an organization, other churches, they just rest on traditions and creeds as supreme. You think about this, and I'm not bashing anybody's religion or anything like that. I'm just trying to get us to see where some people draw their authoritative figures from. Think about this. Somebody says to you at work, they talk about the place called purgatory. And you would read your Bible all the way through and you wouldn't find it because that was gained from some other place. You would see that the same religion would talk about mortal sins and venial sins, and they would talk about many different things, and you would say, well, where are those listed? And you would say, again, you don't find it laid out like that in Bible. And so we understand that one source of authority is the church, their church, whatever that is, or an organization. Or it also could be an individual, it could be a guru, it could be a self-help person. But somewhere, somebody has formulated this bit of authority. And so I would say, as you know, I would say be very, very leery and stay away from those that use human understanding as their source of authority. Be very, just stay away from, run from the from a church that will say that we're the authority. If God moves you somewhere, I hope nobody ever moves. I don't want anybody to ever move. I like everybody to move here, nobody ever to move away. But God ever moves you, then you make sure that the church that you go to not only says they believe the Word of God, but that they also don't try to twist it and say it in their way, which is altogether possible. And so we see that. Oh, let me just give you a couple things. The 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15, talks about the church. And this is the way that some churches will get around this. If I'm a place here, 1 Timothy chapter 3. The Bible says, rightfully so, everything the Bible says is right. It says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And we say amen to that. We say amen to all of it. But our Catholic people would say that they say, would see there, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Therefore, the church is the one that puts forth the doctrines. But you see that that church that's the pillar and the ground of the truth is only the guardian of what truth has already been given. Because the church is built on Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the living word. We have in our laps the written word of God. And so we understand that when you take something like this verse and say that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, so therefore you must listen to the church. Well, therefore you are setting yourself up for all kinds of abuses. Because if somebody has unchecked power, then they are most certainly eventually going to use that to the detriment of the followers. If somebody came in and said, okay, the church here, the pastoral staff is going to pull in some leadership and pull in some other people, and then they're going to be able to tell you what you should do and what you shouldn't do, please run. Take me with you. We'll go somewhere where it's biblical. Because before long, they'll be telling you what you can buy and what you can't buy and how you can. No, you can't do that. And they'll be starting up and making convenient for them doctrines so that your living, your livelihood, your life will be benefiting them. And we see it all the time. Well, I don't see it personally, I hope. But you see it sometimes in movies and different things. People get all tangled up in some sort of cult, where the cult leader, the guru, is doing all that he wants to do at the expense of all those smaller little followers that come along. So, back to our main premise. The three areas of authority, human understanding, church organization, or number three, the one we'll spend our time on, the Bible alone. So, let's look, if you will, you may be in Timothy, look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. From here on will be familiar ground tonight, but it will be necessary ground because we need to be able to battle against when people say, well, I just can't believe that. Can I tell you what freed me up a lot in this? When I stopped, and you'll think it sounds strange at first, but when I stopped apologizing for God, let's take, this is not in your notes, but let's take the area of human sexuality. And people would say, well, it seems to me like there's, I forget how many genders there's supposed to be now in the minds of people, and I'm not trying to be funny, but how many genders some people say that there are. And it used to be like, I got to a place where you don't need to apologize for God. I would just say, well, the Word of God, the Bible, says that male and female created He them. Now, in my flesh, in my spirit, I certainly know there are troubled people. And to those people, I think that we should be very kind and helpful as they need to navigate through their life. But God did not make a mistake when He made them as He made them. Can you see how quickly we can get off track? Because we pull away from the Bible as the sole authority and say, you're right, that young lady, or you may think she's this or that. Your heart goes out to that person. And if we're not careful, we get our authority from our human reasoning. We say, well, if they were born that way and they really want to be that way, isn't there some other solution? Well, that's why I'm teaching tonight on there's three areas of authority. Either my mind is going to make up the decision of what's right and what's wrong. Somebody else is going to make it up for me, some church, or it's going to be the Word of God. So what I said to you is this, I got great freedom when I quit apologizing for the Lord. What He says is what He means, and if somebody has an issue, and I don't say this in arrogance, if somebody has an issue, they have an issue with Him, and I keep pointing to the Bible because this is His revelation He gave to us, they have a trouble with it or Him, not you. Now, we do all of these things in kindness, and there's a lot of times the kindest thing you can do is, like your mom used to say, button up. Truly, there is. There, because it'll keep you from getting an argumentative tone, and it'll keep you out of a situation. Sometimes you just need to say, listen, I'm just button up. But so it helped me a lot when I stopped trying to have to connect God with all the whims and wishes of our society of today. We are called upon as biblical Christians who live in 2022 to stand on the Word of God, let the Word of God speak, and when it speaks, we just have to step back and let it holler out. So, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16, a familiar passage, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And so we see that it's the authority source that comes from God. 2 Peter chapter 1, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so God used men to pin it down somehow. Not the ink from this one. This got printed from in Nashville probably or wherever. But the words and the originals got from God, and He inspired men to write them down. And it's been preserved now to us. So we understand that it's the authority source that comes from God. And the reason that it's important is, if you look at, let me see, Matthew 5:18. Let me find my place here. For verily, Matthew 5:18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle that and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. God's had it. The Bible says in another passage, it was forever settled in heaven. His word is not in danger of eroding away. It breaks our hearts that there are people in this world right now that don't have a written copy of the Word of God, and that should break our heart. But we understand that because it's not been translated in some languages does not diminish from the fact that it will forever stand. The Word of God, not one jot, not one tittle, will pass away. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So it's the authority that stands forever. And so we don't have to worry about it. And I know I'm preaching this to a group of people who are already Bible believers. I know that. But I want to equip you so that when you are faced, and you will be, you have already been and you will be again, faced with those people, and they mean well many times. So please don't get this chip on our shoulder that says we're ready to go to battle. We ought to be ready to go to battle, yes, but not in a vindictive, mean way. But be ready, be prepared when people come to you and they say, honestly, they say, I just can't understand that because it doesn't seem logical. You have to step back like I did and quit apologizing, quit trying to rationalize, quit trying to make excuses for God, and just say, this is what the Word of God says. I understand this situation is really troubling. Again, you don't have to make excuse for God. He's a big God. Take care of Himself. And so we understand that His Word will stand forever. And John chapter 17, verse number 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth, because if we were a class, I would say, class, thy word is truth. That's what His word is. It's truth. And so tonight, I understand that everybody already stands on point number 3. Everybody in this room, I get you. But we have to be prepared to engage people, not so much with point number 2, I don't think. Well, my church says don't do that. My church says don't do that. My church says don't do that. My church says, I don't think we have too many folks that we're interacting with that says that, but there could be a few. But you got to be prepared. But we have a lot of interaction with people who are in class number 1. It doesn't seem like that can be true. I can't fathom that would be correct. And they mean it. Well, what about my niece who is this way? You've got to be prepared to stand solely on the Word of God. Let God do all the heavy lifting, and sometimes just back away. Better to be too kind and in love, just step back and say, all I can do is let the Word of God speak. Because we must figure out, am I that person that stands on human reasoning? Am I that one that stands on a church? Or am I that one that stands on the Bible alone, all by itself? And I know that we're the ones that stand on number 3, But it's not enough for us just to live in this echo chamber, as they call it, and just say, oh, I'm just surrounded by people who all agree with me, and we can talk and we can have a great how-to-do time. That's good when we do, but we got to be ready to engage the people who have all these other beliefs. And we got to understand that our feet are firmly planted on the Word. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Help us, dear Lord, I ask. I don't believe there's a person in here that would be a Bible denier. If they are, it would surprise me. I hope they're here. I hope that they come and are here. I hope, the Lord, my prayer is that they would become a Bible believer, though, real soon. So, Lord, most of us, if not every single one of us, are Bible standers. We stand on the Bible. But, Lord, we live in a world that does not. We live in a world that pretty much runs itself by reasoning. And so I pray that you would have equipped us tonight. Now, folks, as we pray and as they play, maybe God's dealt with your heart in a special way. And you'd like to say, you know, I'm just going to commit again. I'm going to stand firmly on the Word of God. But I hope you caught this other thing as well. We're not going to win people by being brash and ugly and unkind and just wielding our sword like it's a Excalibur that we just come in swinging. We're going to win this world, and we win our friends, our relatives, and our co-workers with love and standing kindly and graciously upon the Word of God. Maybe you're here tonight and you need to come to this altar and pray. It's open for you. I believe you can remain seated. Everybody, you can get out from wherever you're at, I'm sure. But maybe you'd like to come and pray. Maybe you're here this evening and you're not sure that you're saved. Can I tell you that Bible that we stand on at this church says that you and I, every single one of us actually, are sinners, not worthy of heaven, deserve to go to a devil's hell, a literal fire, and spend an eternity. And that's what I was speaking about. The world would say, I just can't fathom that. I don't make excuses for it. I, with tears, tell people about it. But maybe you're here tonight and you're not sure that you'd go to heaven. If that's you, would you just slip out and come? Right down to the front where I'm at. Now I'm watching me or someone take a Bible and show you how you can be sure you're on your way to heaven. We'll just let her play another little bit. Step out and come if that's you. You're troubled tonight, not knowing if you'd go to heaven if something were to happen to you. Maybe there's somebody beside you. You just tap them on the arm and say, I need to be sure I'm going to heaven. I need to be saved. And they would gladly come on out with you and come to the altar, and we'd take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the foundation that we have will never crumble. Lord, we might shake on the rock, but the rock will never shake under us. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help us stand strong on the authority of the Word of God. Thank you for the patience of the people to listen to this somewhat philosophical message, but, Lord, realizing that when it gets down to the biblical aspect, we need to, dear Lord, know we're firmly planted on the Word of God. In Jesus' name, thank you so much. You may look this way. We're going to see our...